B-Pod Studios.
The Philly where haters don't want to clap. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matador. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, mics ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show in a week where the Eagle season is still alive, and it may be alive for a while. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. We are live on 97.5 The Fanatic, and we are live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to all our TV viewers today. You know, as this season continues, it is amazing to me that people still look at the Eagles like they're going to get trounced. Like, they don't take them for, they don't take the Eagles seriously in this play. Even now, I know the New Orleans Saints are a good team, but I mean, this team and the way they've proceeded over the last couple of years, and especially now, the way the progress has taken them to be an actual good team, to be disrespected amongst NFL people in general and fans in general, nobody's taking the Eagles seriously. And it's about time you start taking them seriously. I'm one that has learned from this whole thing. You know, they look like they were playing better teams at the end of the season. They look like they were playing a better team when they played the Rams. Wasn't the case. They look like they were the better team when they were played in Texas. Was not the case. Then they roll into the playoffs and they take apart the Bears, who are a 6.5-point favorite. People, nobody's respecting a team that has really earned respect. You got to look at it that way. What is missing now with the Eagles as they proceed, when you measure the requisite weaknesses against the other team's weaknesses, what are you missing? The Eagles are every bit as viable a team in the playoffs as the New Orleans Saints right now. And that line is just crazy at 8. And I think it's going to shrink. But I'm curious to how you feel about this. I'm riding a wave of confidence with the fan base. The fan base, I think, this fan base is a very confident fan base right now on what the Eagles can do. I don't think that's the case nationally. And the Eagles wear that well. I think it's probably the best case scenario that nobody takes this team seriously, and all they do is go out and they play. And they're unfazed by any of this stuff. And they've got a quarterback who now we know is probably best in the most clutch situations when he has to be. So I don't know how you can count the Eagles out. I really don't. Now, I'm not going to proclaim here on a Tuesday that they're going to beat the New Orleans Saints. I just have to question the people who doubt and say they will not beat the New Orleans Saints. They have every bit of chance to beat the New Orleans Saints and go to the next level, whoever that may be. And it may turn out to be the Cowboys. I mean, who knows the way this fluky season is going to work out. Wouldn't that be like the ultimate conclusion? But the way things have proceeded towards the end of the year, all of a sudden, magically, the Eagles turn into a good team. Magically coincides with the backup quarterback taking over like he did last year. So when you look at it, you go, okay, well, then maybe the magic extends to this. They actually beat the Dallas Cowboys to get to a Super Bowl. And then they go on to beat Andy Reid. See all these little steps? It may be that. It may be this magic kind of destiny that the Eagles are involved in right now. That's what I'm looking at. I can't discount it. The way this season is enveloping, it is leading me in that direction. They beat the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Two straight Super Bowls. Tyrone, are you feeling me here?
You know, I don't think that's crazy anymore, Mike. not anymore.
It can't be crazy. We're witnessing a team. Forget about, listen, I keep talking about magic and flukiness and all that kind of stuff. They're genuinely a good team right now.
No, they are. And they, credit to Howie Roseman, I guess, for finding some waiver guys that can actually play and Joey from Friends. That guy, he's been great
He hasn't been great. He's been passable. The defensive coordinator has made those guys good.
What I mean is he could have sunk the whole thing. And he's been pretty good in the slot for them somehow.
Yep.
And they're a good team. They have a good offensive line. They have a good defensive line. And we talk about the cliche of, you know, football is won in the trenches. But if your offensive line is really good and your defensive line is really good, you're going to be in every game. And I do think at this point it is disrespectful that they're the biggest underdog this week. It's like, why are they 8 points and everyone's seven or less? And they're giving the Colts a ton of credit and this team and that team. Something about that feels wrong, and I feel like this team gets, like you said, they wear it well, and they're going to use it against the Saints.
It's weird that they don't get the respect now. Look what they did last week. They beat a team that was the number one ranked defense. They beat that defense on a last drive of the game when they had to beat them. All these things are just lining up, and you go, all right, well, I got to notice it. They beat that team despite two turnovers. They beat that team despite the fact that their cornerback bit on three jump cuts. and they're winning games. And you go, all right, well, at this point, who can count them out even against the big, bad New Orleans Saints in that building? So I've learned my lesson. This is like a wide-open scenario for the Eagles to take this all the way to the end. And you know if it goes to the end, you know where that leads. It leads to the three branches of Mike, because yesterday we saw the next franchise quarterback. Last night we saw the next franchise quarterback. And the Eagles will have like two more years to get this kid, the true freshman from Clemson.
Well, right? Well, he's going to have to be the first. You're going to have to get the first pick to get him.
Well, maybe, you could. But then if you trade him for a lot of draft picks, if you trade Wentz for two first-round draft picks, you can parlay that into getting down to get that kid. It's a pipe dream scenario. I get it. My point is that the three branches of Mike, if this goes to the end, if the Eagles do beat the Dallas Cowboys, or even they beat the Rams, whatever, it doesn't matter to me, and they get to the Super Bowl, and they win that game, you can't possibly turn away from number nine, ever.
See,
at this point, you can't do it, and you know you can't do it.
No, now that's where I've now, after really thinking it through, mm-hmm. I'm not with you on that branch at all. I can't go there with you. I can't, Mike. And I can tell you why.
I understand why you can't. If this guy wins the Super Bowl, you're telling me you can't go to the Mike branch?
I can't go to the Mike branch. I can't.
Well, that sounds just silly.
It's just
flat out silly. If this kid wins the Super Bowl, you can't turn your back on the kid.
He's a grown man.
He's 29. He's still a kid.
Fine. But here's the one fear that I have, Mike, and I don't want to bring this up because I'm in now. Mm-hmm. I'm in on this Super Bowl run.
Mm-hmm.
But when you bring up the branches of Mike, that means that he has to be the guy from week one through the end of the season and the playoffs, a spot that he's never been in his entire career.
Listen.
And I'm to believe that he can do it. And last year, he came in relief. This year, we saw it didn't start well. He's back playing great in relief. I think he's suited for a specific role. If you ask him to be the week one through week 17 quarterback, you're 8-8 best, and you're not going to win anything, and that's why I can't go to that third branch of Mike.
You're overthinking it. See, you're overthinking it. You're going, well, what if?
No, I'm not going what if.
Yes, you are. You're going, what if?
I'm saying he can't.
Well, you don't know he can't. You don't know he can't, so you're going, what if? I can go what if with you, too. I can go what if on Wentz. Suppose Wentz can't get you through an entire season because he's all injury prone. You can't worry about that stuff. You got to worry about the tangible stuff, not the intangible stuff. If he wins the Super Bowl, you can't turn your back on him.
I can, and I will. But I really do think now, I'm starting to feel that good Super Bowl groove. That's why I'm troubled by the branches of Mike, because I don't want to go there because I feel like I'm splashing cold water on the people when I'm now one of the people. I'm on board. I have a good feeling about this Saints game. Yeah. I think they can beat. Dallas will not beat the Eagles three times in 1 year. The Eagles got a real shot to get to the Super Bowl in a real city, versus being in Minnesota with an asterisk Super Bowl.
I think Dallas is going to get smoked, but that's beside the point. They're probably going to have to beat the Rams to get to the Super Bowl.
They can beat the Rams without Gurley.
And they can beat the Rams, but they have to beat them there where Goff is a lot more comfortable. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. The bridge now is that the Eagles, we need to talk about the Eagles as a legitimately good team. And so you look at what turned the season around. And it was just a few weeks ago where people were still hung up on, oh, they're missing Reich and DeFilippo. You're not hearing that anymore, are you? No, they have magically transformed into a good team. And God, they did it without the two greatest offensive minds ever, Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, we all were, a lot of us were guilty of disrespecting Doug Peterson a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Doug Peterson is proving to be a legitimately, in my opinion, a great football coach. Because to come back, what makes you, you've talked about this, you don't trust a lot of baseball players unless you see it for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You don't, you're a track record guy.
Yep.
The fact that the Eagles could follow up from a Super Bowl, make this rally, and then get into the Super Bowl is unbelievable. Getting to the playoffs again is unbelievable. It's showing me he's a great coach.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break, and we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. That is how you get in. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. We're live on radio. We're live on TV. We're talking about the Eagles right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Preparing for Breeze, this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by the Rothman Institute. Life isn't made for pain, life is for living, so turn to the top orthopedic experts in Central Jersey, the Rothman Institute. Eagles gear up to face New Orleans on Sunday. Doug Peterson addressed the media yesterday on the team's preparation for the Saints.
You got to look at it from just X's and O's, pure X's and O's. And it's good to have played them, you know, because then you get that on tape. You got us versus them on tape, and then you can go back and review and use it more as a resource.
Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network checks in with Mike today at 3. Sal Pal joins at 5:15. Sixers start their back-to-back mission against the Wizards tonight at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers fell to the Blues last night 3-0. They play the Caps tonight. You can hear that game on WMMR at 7. Clemson beat Alabama last night 44-16 in the college football playoff national championship game. Our Big Green giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily best of show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Mussinelli Show
on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 3 o'clock hour on the Mike Mussinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. All right, our guest to lead off the 3 o'clock hour, a very well respected man in NFL circles, working for the NFL Network and also with a local pedigree. He, of course, is the great Mike Garofalo. Michael, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling great, Mikey. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually confident about the Eagles, and it doesn't seem like everybody else in America is outside of this area. Two straight weeks, total lack of respect. So I got to ask you, as a guy who analyzes the league, have they not shown to be a viable contender at this point?
I think there's that game in New Orleans is a 4 o'clock national game, so it got a lot of play. Nationally, and it was such a spanking, man. It was -41. How are you going to go from -41 to +1? You know, like I'm just giving you the national view on things,
yeah.
You know, because that's what sticks in people's minds. And listen, nationally, and I know there's people in Foles' corner who can't figure it out, but nationally, people still doubt Nick Foles. You know, he's locked in right now. He was locked in last year. You know, they'll look back to, well, you know, earlier in his career, that Rams year, or, you know, early this season, you know, all that. I mean, they'll reach for anything they can to say that, you know, well, he's still not an elite caliber quarterback, but, you know, that's probably why you guys are confident.
Well, here's the thing. I understand how they got drummed. by New Orleans in the past. This is a completely different face, this team. I don't know what transformed them. I don't know if number nine taking a snap transformed them, but they seem to be transformed on both sides of the ball. Do they not?
You can talk about the offense all you want, but the story of this team right now is how well the defense is playing. And Jim Schwartz touched on it today a little bit in his press conference, and I remember talking to Fletcher Cox about this a couple of weeks ago, saying, you know, honestly, I didn't figure out how Michael Bennett rushes until recently. And now that I know what he's doing, that affects what I'm doing. And so that was all kind of happening up front a little bit with some of these pieces up front. And, not just in the passing game, in the run game. I mean, I really feel like they're all really have come together. It's not like they have a ton of new faces in the front seven, but just enough that they were trying to find their chemistry and where they were this year. And I think that that's the biggest key for them, not just getting after the passer, but also in the run game, and certainly what they've been able to do up there up front. And that's, if you're looking for a reason to believe why they can do this, it's really on that side of the ball. And frankly, the other thing is what's happened in the secondary. And I know these guys like Avonte Maddox and Cravon LeBlanc have gotten a ton of respect the last couple of weeks here. They really have been playing well, and LeBlanc has been a huge key for them. They needed a guy like that.
All right, so now they're going to face a guy who's obviously a Hall of Fame player, maybe one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. So how do you play this with Drew Brees if you're Jim Schwartz?
You've got to realize that they're going to hit some plays. They're going to hit some big plays down the field, and you can't let it break you. You can't give them more than they're going to get on their own, and that means, you know, whether it's a missed tackle or a blown assignment. And look, I praise those guys in the secondary, but there were a couple of double moves there. Was it Maddox on the last
yes.
side? They had a problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that stuff, not necessarily double moves, but route combinations that are going to force a cornerback to make a decision. And if he makes the wrong one, it's going to look bad. And so your guys are going to have to be on their keys to limit those plays as much as possible, those chunk plays. And you better hope that when you do blitz, you get home. That's the problem. Is if Breeze sees it coming and if Peyton makes the right play call in the right situation where it's a quick release play, it's not going to matter if your guy's coming because he's not going to get there. So you're really going to, they're all going to have to be on their game. They're going to have to be calling the right plays in the right spots, and they need to make sure that they limit those chunk plays like I'm talking
about. It's probably not a good idea to blitz this guy and put some inexperienced guys on an island as well as they've been playing, I would guess.
You can't not blitz, right?
Well, he doesn't. he doesn't blitz a lot. So I don't know why he would start now and against an all-world quarterback who can expose a blitz.
Well, and this is why it's like, we sit here and, they should blitz more and they should not blitz more. And there's so much that goes into when a guy is making a call during a game in 40 seconds, which has got to feel like 10 seconds to these guys when they're calling a game. Realizing, okay, where are they? What part of the field? What are their tendencies when they're around midfield, backed up in the red zone, whatever, and figuring out, okay, am I going to have enough time to get home right here? That's going to be that's the chess match within the game. And I've said this, I got to go back and look, but Sean Payton on a bye when he's got more time to prepare, there may not be anybody better in the league, man. I have seen some whoopings that he has put on teams when he's coming out of the bye, just because everything that you thought you had tendency-wise on a guy, he breaks it all because he self-scouted himself.
All right, well, that will explain the 8 points. So, I get it, but I don't get it. I think this team now, with this quarterback, the way they're playing, is a completely different team, and I would not be surprised to see them pull off another one. I mean, I know you're probably not feeling that right now, right?
Listen, I'm not feeling the other way. I'll tell you that. Anybody who thinks they're going to walk in and get their doors blown off again is mistaken, because this team is just playing too well. The thing about them is that what they struggled with early in the season was getting on teams early and getting out in front and playing from in front. And that's been a big difference for these guys. I go back to that Rams game. What was the score before the Rams started to make it more respectable? They were up a couple of a couple of scores in that game, right?
Yeah, they were.
It was third quarter. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, so it was 30-13 going into the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what this team did not do well early in the season. And I thought they did, even though they didn't get up big on Chicago, the way they came out in that first drive and started clicking, it was like, okay, you could see right away they're going to control the tempo and the Bears are going to have to come from behind in this game. If they can do that to these guys, obviously that's a huge key.
All right, before I get to going around the rest of the games, and I want to talk about a couple of games in particular, let's get into the daily argument that we have here with the people most of the day. If this guy, this quarterback, pulls this off again, where do you stand on the future?
Me or the team?
Well, you. You, because the team probably is on the win side, right? Because
but put a butt in there. Like, this one's much different, right? They go in there and they beat the Saints in New Orleans in the Superdome. And he's a huge reason why, barring a 6-3 game or something ridiculous where it's just a defensive game or whatever. You know, if he goes in there and he plays, you know, every one of these games, Mike, is making them say, all right, let me put it to you this way. From my understanding, everybody, Foles is gone. And even my buddy Ian Rappaport, my coworker, was talking about how they're going to trade him in the offseason. Inside that building, and in large part because they don't have to make these calls right now, but inside that building, it's like, we haven't made any decisions. We haven't, you know, can we bring them both back? Can we figure that out? Can we, you know, whatever. Like, nobody's sitting there saying, okay, Nick Foles is done with us as soon as he's gone in the next couple of games. It's just, we're going to see how it plays out. If he wins the friggin' Super Bowl and he's won back-to-back, they're going to have some serious conversations with themselves. I still, to me, this is the way that I've explained it, and I've been passionate in my defense of Carson Wentz, and don't misconstrue that as me batting down Nick Foles or making any comment on Nick Foles, because I was merely responding to the fact that people were like, well, we got to move on from this Wentz guy. We can't trust him. He can't stay healthy. He doesn't, you know, he forces things too much, but whatever they were saying. It's not a 10-game decision. It's a 10-year decision, okay? So that's what the Eagles are looking at. And you could sit there and say, well, they're playing so much better now in this season with Foles. I'm not going to argue with you on that. We can talk about why that's the case with Wentz, but in the long scheme here, they're looking at the long haul, you still got to be behind Carson Wentz as your franchise quarterback.
All right. See, the Miss Nelly plan is... Uh-huh. You keep Foles, if this happens, you keep Foles, you get a bounty for Wentz, and then you've got 3 to 4 years to find another franchise quarterback. And you know somebody's going to pop up there in the next 3 or 4 years that you can
try. But what's the, walk me through it. What's the upside there?
The upside is you get a lot for Wentz. You got,
but you're
now
not thinking that Foles is your quarterback for
4 years.
5 to 7 years. Why would you go back to borrowed time?
Because you can develop another guy who doesn't have to play right away as long as you have Foles as your starter.
But you've already got that guy.
You may have that guy. We don't really know, do we? Do we really know for sure?
No, you never know for sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So there's always another guy.
Cliff Kingsbury's getting hired by the Cardinals as we speak. I'm going to go on the air in about a half an hour here, and they're going to ask me if that's going to be a good hire. I have no idea. I'm going to give you my best guess.
Well, listen.
And hopefully nobody remembers if I'm wrong.
In 2020, there's going to be 5 quote-unquote franchise quarterbacks in the draft. And we don't know which one's going to play out. But
okay. And then if Nick Foles leads you to the NFC Championship game and you're in the back end of the first round and you're giving back all that capital that you got for Wentz just to get up and get another.
But that's why you get the number one picks now for Wentz and you store them.
You don't know.
You got collateral.
Listen, we can spin our wheels on that. You know what I'm saying? I get it. And I love the conversation. I do. I really do. And here's the other thing. And I'm not sitting here saying Carson Wentz is perfect and all that. But listen, I would hope that he's sitting there watching and saying and doing an honest assessment, not just sitting there and saying, oh, this is, you know, frustrating. I wish I was in there. But okay, what is Nick Foles doing that he's successful at that maybe I'm not doing and I'm not as successful at? Is it the way he's throwing the balls? Is it the way he's handling the offense and the huddle and all this stuff? Is it overall approach to the game? Whatever. Like, that's what you would hope is going on right now. And I'm sure it is.
All right, so they can't lose either way. But I'm saying it's hard to turn away from
them.
Yeah, but it's hard to turn away from a guy who wins two straight Super Bowls. All right, quickly on the rest of the card here.
Yeah.
Which team you see is more susceptible to be upset? Because I've got my eye on a game in Foxborough.
Do you really?
Yes,
you're
I do.
That Chargers. Yeah,
I kind of like it. I'll be honest with you.
Well, we're going to take the Chiefs one way or the other, and the Chiefs could be. Oh, well, the Chiefs on a bye. They're going to come out flat. The Colts are playing great defense. They can keep everything in front of them. Or the other cheese is, well, the Patriots, you know, not the kind of team that they usually look like. Mm-hmm. But one of them is going to be right. I think one of them is going to be cheese. And I think the Patriots one is the one that's going to be right. I agree with you, Michael. How about that?
Wow,
I think the Colts
amazing.
Might be the cheese.
All right. Well, so I might have to, you know, make a few snaps on my phone here in a couple
seconds.
No
comment.
I hear you. Mike Garofalo, always a pleasure from the NFL Network. Good talking to you, brother.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.